I want to begin reading this morning in the 12th verse of Matthew chapter 21. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Amen. Now, just a few moments ago, when I heard a young person crying out, Daddy, 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 coming down the aisleway, now you understand why I thought that's of God. Because if you and I won't holler out for our Father, at least we've got a youngin' willing to do it. Amen? I want to preach on this thought this morning. When Jesus cleans the house. Father, we pray that you would help us as we enter into this time of preaching. We thank you for this dear congregation. We appreciate the opportunity you've given us to share the word today. And I pray, God, you would just give us this morning what is needed to preach. That's your unction, your spirit, your power, your presence, your leading, your direction, your guidance, your instruction. Help us, Lord, this morning to receive that, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Five things we'll be through. Number one, I want you to see the wrath that Jesus displayed. Verse 12 again, Jesus went into the temple of God and he began to cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and he overthrew the tables of the money changers. Now, this is the last week then, this text, of Jesus' public ministry. You remember on Sunday, Jesus came riding on a little donkey into Jerusalem. We call it Palm Sunday for the people. We're waving the palm branches, laying their clothes out before him as he rode into town. They were crying, Hosanna! Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The book of Mark chapter 11 and verse number 11, the scripture tells us that he got off the donkey, went into the temple. Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Jesus, that Palm Sunday, came to the house of God and looked round about. And because it was late, he left there and went 2 miles back to Bethany and stayed the evening there with the 12. And on the morrow, the next day being Monday, that's when he gave the curse to the fig tree and he went back to the house of God, and this whole text begins to take place. You know, what was Jesus looking for when he went in on that Sunday night? I wonder if he was looking for some people that were praising him, but he didn't see them. What does he see at Bethel Baptist Church when he comes in and looks around this morning? Is he seeing a preacher preaching the word of God? He's looking for someone to lead them. Is he seeing some people that are praising the name of Jesus? He's looking for some people that are praying. Hey, his house is a house of prayer. He's looking for people that are praying and seeking his face. Hey, the Lord is here today and he's looking around for people that are participating in worship. But that day, when they'd sung praises to him in the street, when he came in the house of God and he looked around, I tell you what he saw. He saw money changers, people buying and selling. There was no prayer. There is no praise. There is no people participating in worship. There is no preaching. I want to say nowadays in our churches, we're getting away from preaching the word. We're getting away from praising his name. We're getting away from hitting the altar and bowing down for prayer. You may say, well, we've not at Bethel. Yeah, not yet. Not yet. But all across our country, there are churches that are abandoning the old paths for newfangled things. And Jesus still is looking for a people that's willing to praise him. And I want you to know, these other things, they're polluting the house of God. Let's think about those money changers. Why are they there, Preacher Darren? Why are there money changers, people to exchange monies? What are they doing? Well, see, the people dealt with Roman coins. And the Jews believed you couldn't bring a Roman coin into the house of God. That'd be a sin. So establish some money changers that you would give the Roman coin and they would in turn give you that value in Jewish shekels for a certain nominal fee, which was sometimes 10 times what the transaction was to start with. You see, they had a lucrative business. You're talking about people that were poor, that were coming to the house of God to pay their temple tax. They had to pay that once a year, a Jewish half shekel. They had to exchange money and pay a fee to be able to do it. Exploitation of the poor. In fact, oftentimes people would bring their animals. You know, they've got this animal, this little sheep that's without spot and without blemish, and they bring it to the house of God to give it to the priest that it might be sacrificed and atone for their sins. But here's what they would do. The chief priest would stop them and say, "We must inspect your sacrifice." They would always find fault with the sacrifice. Always find fault. And you know why? They'd say, "We have over here, the temple court was as big as 35 football fields. The temple complex. It's huge. 35 football. We have over here some animals. Yours has failed inspection. But we have over here some animals that will pass inspection. You have to go to the money changer and you have to exchange. You have to trade in your sheep for one of ours that we deem spotless for a nominal fee, of course, sometimes 10 times the exchange rate. And then they'd take your animal and when you turned your back, they'd sell it to somebody else. You see, that's what they were doing at the house of God. They were cheating the poor people. They were cheating everybody for a profitable, lucrative business. That's what's going on. May I say this to you this morning before I really get into this message? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which lives in you? When he's speaking, going into the house of God, looking for things, there's a spiritual side of that to say that he is looking into your heart, and what does he see? Does he see you here today ready to worship? Does he see you participating in preaching, participating in praising, participating in prayer, or are you concentrating on business later on today? Business has got to be taking place tomorrow. Jesus is looking round about and he knows the motives and the intents of your heart, why you're even here. When Jesus noted that evening, he left. He came back the very next day, didn't he? The Bible says that he began to purge the house of God. Did you know this is the second time Jesus has done this? The first time he cleansed the house of God was when he began his public ministry. In the book of John chapter 2, you can read about it. He cleansed the temple. He took a scourge and he began to beat them and run them out of the house of God. That's where he began his public ministry. Now 3 years later, he's back. And when he comes back and looks around, they're doing the same polluted, corrupt things they were doing when he cleansed them the first time. Y'all looking at me? Are you saved? You might say that he cleansed your temple when he moved in. But it's not always clean. is it? Seems as if we get distracted. We get disappointed. We get disillusioned. We get our mind concentrated on this person or that person, and we're against them now, and we've got grudges. Boy, that'll corrupt your temple. Bad business dealings, that'll corrupt your temple. I mean, involved in things that we said we'd never be involved in. There you go. It's corrupting your temple. And you know what you need today? You hear me? You look like you're ready to go to sleep. You know what you need today? You need a good temple cleansing. I pray to God that he don't have to get a scourge and do it. But I tell you, our Lord, when he walked into his house that Monday morning and he began to look around, I want you to know he was angry.
Oh, now, preacher, I got a real problem with that word. Jesus was never angry.
He was filled with righteous indignation against sin. And he began to take all those that sold and all those that bought, and he said, just get out. Come on. Just get out of here. Go on. Just get out of here. Go. You're not going to do this. Can you imagine? Preacher Darren, thank you. We want people to stay. We don't want them to leave. Jesus said, I don't want nothing polluting my house. Sin has got to go. Preacher Darren, I just have a hard time with Jesus being angry. He said in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, that be ye angry and sin not. You realize that judgment must first begin at the house of God? Look what he did, verse 12. He went into the temple of God. You know why he went in? Because judgment's coming. You know why he's here this morning? That we can worship him and we can praise him and we can seek his face. And all that's true. But if he looks round about and he sees his temple dirty, he's coming in judgment. If you're not willing to say, Lord, I've got a dirty temple. Lord, I need to be cleansed. Would you wash me with the fuller soap? Would you wash me by the blood of Jesus? Lord, would you wash? If you're not willing to do it, he'll come in judgment. He'll come in judgment. He began to cast out, and then he began to overthrow. Can you imagine? I mean, there'd been money and animals running. You talk about all kinds. There's money and animals running everywhere when he overthrew all them tables. I said, number one, I see the wrath of Jesus being displayed. He forcibly removed them from his house. Not popular preaching, is it, Brother Darren? No, it's not going real well right now. But let's just read on and see what's going to happen. Number two, I want you to hear the words that Jesus declared. He said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Jesus said his house was a sacred place. And he's quoting Isaiah 56:7. You realize that the house of God that we're in right now is a holy place. You ought to get your shoes off your feet because the place you and I are standing is holy ground. But yea, I would say unto you, your heart, there's a place in your soul of worship this morning. And he said, it's my house, it's a place of prayer. It's a sacred place. But look, he said, you have made it a den of thieves. He's talking about their sinful perversion. They're a bunch of thieves. He's quoting Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 11. You know what they're doing? Are y'all hearing me? They are stealing God's goals. What do you mean? Those poor people came with their little animals and came to bring their tithe to the Lord. And when they got there, their animals failed inspection. They had to spend the money that they brought for their tithe, which belonged to God. And they said, listen, I know, but you're still giving it to the house of God. No, they weren't. They were giving it to their profitable, lucrative business. They were stealing God's tithes. There will be churches and ministries accountable for how they've spent and used God's money. there will be individuals accountable for the misuse of God's tithe. They were stealing God's glory. When the people came in, they came to praise Him. But by the time they got to the temple complex, they were so frustrated. You ever been there? They were so aggravated by how they had been treated and welcomed by these money changers and by these sellers of animals and things. They were so frustrated they couldn't worship. They were so frustrated they couldn't praise Him. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You at some situation right here today has become so frustrating to you, you can't even worship. You have a situation that is hindering you from worshiping God, and it is robbing you of giving God the glory that He deserves. Look at the works that He demonstrated. Now, once He cleansed the temple, look at verse 14. All pollution's gone. Look what happens, verse 14. And the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. When He came in on Palm Sunday evening, nobody was being healed. Nobody was being helped. Nobody was concerned. They were just going through business transactions. A lot of our churches is so filled with ceremonialism and going through this channel and that channel that we don't take the time to worship Him. We've got to get it outlined. We've got to get it organized. We've got to have a business plan. We've got to have a structure. We've got to have a worship model. We've got to have a worship plan, or we don't know what to do. Hey, honey, I got news for you. Just kick back and let Jesus have His way, amen. That's what we need in our churches. When the temple was cleansed, then the blind and the lame came to Jesus and they were healed. That should have been a sign to them, because the Bible talks about the Messiah. Here's what it said in Malachi. When He comes to His temple, He'll cleanse it. And then when it's cleansed, that the blind and the lame and the mute and the deaf would be healed. That should have been a sign to them that Jesus is the Messiah. Oh, thank God. Listen, verse 15. We see the worship that Jesus deserved. When the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that He did and the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna, the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Are you hearing me? The first thing we see is the children are praising the Lord. Why aren't the adults praising Him? Hard-hearted, rebellious, sinful, grudge bearers, adults. How many times has Jesus said you ought to be like these little children and humble yourselves and come to Me? But us adults just won't do that. We'll hear it. And instead of becoming childlike, we act childish. And all them children come running into His house, said, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. They begin to praise Him. If you won't praise Him, God's got a host of youngins that will. We see the praise of the children. Look at the pretension of the priests. It's what they said. They said to Jesus, verse 16, hearest thou what these say? They're angry. They're complaining. These children are disrupting our service. I believe when we go to the house of God together, we ought to go together and worship together. And the chief priests are mad. Hear what they say. They're saying You the Messiah. They're upsetting our worships. Hey, you weren't complaining when the money changers were here. You weren't complaining when business transactions were going well. You weren't complaining about the animals being sold and all the disruptions and all the chaos and all the confusion. That was not a problem. But when the children start saying, Hosanna, that means save us now, Lord. When the children start crying out to the Lord, now you're mad. Something's wrong with that picture. I'm glad I go to a church where the children can still get up and sing and still lift their voices in praise to Him. You may say, you know what, preacher, Darren, I think the services ought to roll along a little faster.
We ought to sing a little less. We ought to leave them kids out and receiving their offering, and you ought to preach faster. We can get in and get out. Jesus would say, get out, you money changer. Get out, we're overthrowing you. Let the children praise the Lord. Let the children have opportunity. Let the children lift up his name, amen. Hey, he inhabits their praise. Look what Jesus said to them. He said, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? That's Psalms 8:2. Psalms 8:2. Jesus is saying, yes, I hear them. And they sound mighty good to me. I'm the one gave them air to breathe. I'm the one pumps the blood in their hearts. I'm the one, amen, that created them. And if they want to praise me, I want to hear from them, amen. Hallelujah. We see the worship that Jesus deserved. What they're saying, these children, is we believe Jesus is the Son of God. I'm done right here. We see the withdrawal he desired. Look at verse 17. And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. He left them. Jesus will not stay where he's not wanted. Bethel Baptist Church, I'll just lay out an ultimatum before him, before you. If you don't want him, he'll just leave. He's done all he knows to do to get your attention. And if you don't want him, he'll just leave you with it. And I'm going to say this. I don't aim to be here when he leaves. I just want to follow him. If he leaves, I think I'm going to go with him. I hope you'll go too. Amen. Hallelujah. He left them. Now I want to say this, and I'll be done right here. It was a purposeful departure. Look at Matthew 16, verse 4. We read this verse some time ago. The Lord, just that verse just leaped out and grabbed me. You know, that wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after sign. There shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Now, Preacher Clay, if he left them, that means he separated from them and he departed. It's a double imperative. You see it? He left them and he departed. It reminds me, and are you okay? Some of y'all are looking like you're real stressed out. In Matthew chapter 8, I believe it was, there was the man that had the demons, and Jesus said to the demons, be ye gone into the swine. And the demons went into the swine. And you remember the story. The demons ran off the side of the cliff and committed, or the pigs ran off the side of the cliff and committed suicide. Even a pig has sense enough not to let the devil have his way. The Bible says that those Jews came to Jesus and asked him to leave. Said, we don't want you here anymore. You've ruined our pig business. You know, pigs is unclean animals to a Jew. Wallering in the muck and the mire. You've ruined my business. You get out of here. No praise at all. No praise at all for the fact that a man that was demon-possessed has had the demons cast out of him, has now been saved and forgiven of his sins, and peace has come. No praise for Jesus there. Just said, Jesus, you go, because you've ruined our pig business. You stand to your feet. Preacher Darren, I don't understand the thrust of this message. There are four churches of the seven written in the book of Revelation, four of them. Jesus said to them, repent. 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 You know what the Lord wants to do for you? He wants to clean his house in your life. He wants to clean it up for his glory and for his honor. He wants to cleanse you and clean you and purge you just as shiny and new as could ever be. Oh, I already got that, Preacher Darren. Yeah, but you know there's been a little time passed. Why is it your house you have to spring clean it? I started to bring all kinds of cleaners today, but I don't want to advertise for none of them. But why is it that there's times in your life there has to be a cleaning process that has to happen at your house, at your business, in your car? This morning, I'm telling you, there's some folks this morning, he needs to clean the house right now. Your praise, your prayer life, your worship, he wants to cleanse it. Folks are coming all around. Bless his good name. Come on, just mind him this morning. Jesus knows all about your temple today. Knows all about your needs. Tell him. Listen to that song, I Must Tell Jesus. Father, this morning, we thank you for the good word of God. Lord, for the fact that Jesus, he cleansed that temple at the beginning of his ministry. And now at the conclusion of his ministry as he's headed to the cross, on that Monday, he's back at the house of God where he cleansed it of all the pollutants that had ruined and corrupted the house of God, the place of worship, the place of help, the place of restoration. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd get in our hearts and our lives. You'd clean, you'd cleanse, you'd purify, you'd purge. Help us, Lord, to be drawn closer to you than ever before. Lord, I pray this morning, you'd forgive us of our failures. You'd forgive us of our sins. You'd cleanse us this morning by your power through the blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, I ask this morning, God, that your hand of mercy, Lord, would be upon each one who's come this way, bowed all over this altar and down the aisleways, said, oh God, would you cleanse your house? Oh God, may Jesus be praised here. Oh God, may Jesus be worshiped. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd restore their prayer life. Restore the power back to them, Lord, I pray. Give them back that solid witness, that good testimony that the devil and corruption has tried to steal. Help us, God, that we would give God his glory, that is due his name. Lord, I thank you for warning us today from the word of God. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.